Again, it's so good to see each of you this morning. We're thankful for the privilege to be in the Lord's house and pray that God will bless as we come to study His Word together. I ask you to turn with me, if you will, to the book of Matthew, chapter 12. Matthew, chapter 12. I sent out an email earlier in the week to give you advance warning that this thing, as I began to try to study and look at it, it just began to get larger and larger and larger. This morning, as I tried to go through some of the preliminary thoughts, it got larger and larger and larger. And so I pray that I'll be able to divide it up into sections so that won't just stuff it down your throat in one day. This will be a series concerning the Holy Spirit and our need for Him in our daily walk. And the scriptures that I want to use as a text might seem a little odd, and it may take me a couple of weeks to get to them, but I want us to have them in our minds as we're going in that direction. Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Would you join your hearts with me in prayer? I really need your prayers in this particular series that I hope to begin. Father God, we bow before you this morning and we thank you for your holy word. Thank you, Lord, that you've given to us by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You moved men of old to pin your words, your thoughts, your heart, and gave it to us. And then to give us the Holy Spirit to reveal those things to us. So, Father, I confess to you this morning, both to you and before these thy people, that I need the help of the Holy Spirit to be able to proclaim your word and to be able to gain understanding and to share that. And I pray that it would be according to your guidance and your direction. And Lord, so would you please bless with your holy presence, your Holy Spirit. Open our eyes, our ears, our mouths, that we might indeed glorify you. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. When you think about the Holy Spirit, there's various things that come to mind. First of all, the Holy Spirit is that part of the Godhead. He is Father, Son, and Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. I understand they to be one and the same. And when you think of the Holy Spirit, He's the one who comes into our lives, who takes out that old cold, stony heart and replaces it with a heart that's alive in Christ, replaces it with a heart that gives us the ability to be able to receive and understand the love of God and to reciprocate that love back to Him. Also, when you think about the Holy Spirit, not only is it in regeneration, but also enlightenment. The Holy Spirit is the one who speaks to our hearts and reveals to us those things that we need to know, those things that help us as we go in our Christian walk, in our daily walk. And so as we're looking at this particular passage, verse 31 and 32, I won't always ask you to do this, but I'm going to ask you today, any preconceived notion that you have of these two verses, would you just lay it aside for just a little while? And if you want to pick them back up later, that's fine. If you don't agree with what I'm about to say, that's fine. Pray for me. I'll pray for you, and we'll come to a conclusion on this. But anything that you may have about this, because when you ask people, what do these verses mean? And normally you'll hear it like this. What is the unpardonable sin? What is the unforgivable sin? And you have however many people you ask, you probably have that many different answers as to what they think that it might mean. So this morning and the next few weeks to follow, it's my turn, okay? And if you want to talk to me afterward, that'll be fine. But it's my turn now to share with you what I see in these particular passages of Scripture. This week, as I began to read this, and I trust it was the Holy Spirit that led me to these two verses, I had that same thought in my mind when I read them. What does this mean? What are you saying, Lord, to us concerning these two verses? What does it mean that it will not be forgiven? And here again, it's opening up and getting bigger and bigger. The more I chew on it, the bigger it gets. So just please bear with me and pray for me that I'll be able to have my thoughts together in a good logical way that we'll be able to follow. First of all, in verse 31, says that blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. What does that mean? What does it mean, blasphemy against the Holy Ghost? Well, I'm finding more and more that, realizing maybe more and more as I study the Word of God, that it explains itself. And the question to that the answer to that question is found in the very next verse. What is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost? Whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. What is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost? It's speaking against the Holy Spirit. It's speaking against the Holy Spirit as He's speaking to our hearts, as He's leading us, as He's guiding us, as He's directing us. Blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is going away from what the Lord is leading us to do. And Jesus said, it'll not be forgiven, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Okay, now, here we go again. The word world, what does the word world mean? Blasphemy means speaking against the Holy Spirit. What does it mean when it says that it shall not be forgiven in this world, nor in the world to come? Well, when you look that up in the original Greek, the word world means an age. And an age is a period of time, right? Is there time in heaven? No. Time I'll never forget. I've used it so many times. Elder John Hendricks, we were talking one day and he said, what was the first thing that God created? Y'all probably have heard him ask this question. What's the first thing that God created? Time. In the beginning. He created time. Then he began to create all the things of the universe. So when it says, it shall not be forgiven in this world, in this age, in this time, they were still under the law dispensation at that point. It would not be forgiven under the law. We know the Holy Spirit moved even in the Old Testament. In fact, chapter 1, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth, and it was dark without form. It was void. There's the Spirit of God moving. So in the age of law, he says it won't be forgiven. If you go against what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do, it won't be forgiven. And in the world to come, the age to come, which is the age that we're in now, which is grace. There's the two dispensations that are talked about in the Bible. We have the Old Testament, which is the law. We have the New Testament, which brings us into the age of grace. So he says it won't be forgiven in the old, nor in the new. And I'm getting dry mouth. Okay. So, it won't be forgiven if you speak against the Holy Spirit. It's amazed me this week how the Lord has brought things together. I began reading the book of Jeremiah. And there was a question. When God asks a question, we need to stand up, sit up, and listen. And pay attention. And God asked a question in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 5, I believe it was. And that question was, how can I pardon you? How can I pardon you? And I thought, wow, That's what I've been studying in Matthew chapter 12. How can I pardon you? And the whole thought was, if you continue down this road that's leading you away from me, how can I pardon you? But then he talks about repentance and turning back and coming back to the point where that we're serving the Lord. So, again, there's so many things that I'm trying not to get way ahead of myself. This is bigger than me. Every text that I look at is bigger than me, but this one especially is bigger than I am. But it's important. This whole week has just been speaking to my heart as though this possibly for Steve Taylor could be, for me, the most important message that I've ever preached. Because the importance of being obedient to the Holy Spirit of God. Being obedient to the leadership of the Lord. It's in our daily... Well, let me just put it this way. That's the kingdom of God, isn't it? To walk in obedience to the Lord, that's the kingdom of heaven. It's the kingdom of God. It's righteousness. It's doing what's right. And if I'm doing what's wrong, which I've been so guilty of all through my life, if I'm doing what's wrong, God says, how can I pardon you until you come back to me? He won't pardon us. He won't go along with us as long as I'm out there in the world, living like the world. He won't pardon that. But the whole point is, Jesus stands there saying, come to me. Come to me, and I'll pardon you. Come to me. There's forgiveness. For you see, in 1 John chapter 1, and here I go, I'm getting way ahead of myself. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to do what? To forgive us of our sins. Now, is that a contradiction between verse 31 and 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9? I tell you, there is no contradiction in the Word of God. But there are conditions that we as children of God are to meet. There are conditions that God has laid down for us. No conditions to get to heaven. Christ met that, right? When He died on the cross, when He shed His righteous blood, when He laid down His life, He secured our home in heaven. That's secured. And nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Even when He says, how can I pardon you? He still says, I still love you though. But I love you so much that I'm not going to let you continue going down that path that is wrong. I'm going to bring you back to me. I'm going to draw you back to me because I love you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I'm going to draw you back. I'm going to draw you back. I'm going to bring you back to that place where that we can see Jesus. Come to me. Come to me. Are you laboring over this? Are you heavy laden? Are you heavy hearted? Are you burdened down? He says, come to me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and I'm lowly of heart. But I'll give you rest. And I'll see you through. So, as we think about Matthew, coming back to my text, we think about Matthew. I understand Matthew's the kingdom writer. He's writing about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, all throughout of it. But something that hit me this week, as I'm thinking about the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of heaven is not a hiding place. And I know the scriptures say, you know, go to the rock that is higher than I. Hide me under the wings of your love. Bring me to that place where that you're my shield. I understand that. But I also have been made to see that the kingdom of heaven is not some place that we just run and hide to and find out that everything's okay as long as we're there. But rather, the kingdom of heaven is proactive. The kingdom of heaven is something that we march. I thought of that song, come we that love the Lord and let our joys be known. And it talks about the hill of Zion yields 1,000 sacred sweets before we enter into heaven's glory. There are sacred sweets of God that we can enjoy in this life. But God says, how can I pardon you If you're out there, come here. And notice the word come here. Again, my mind, I'm still not going to where I knew I wasn't going to get past my introduction today, but I haven't even got to my introduction yet. He says, come to me. Come to me. I read that. I saw that this morning, and I thought about Zach and Shayla's little baby. What?
Matthew.
I don't know if anybody else saw him, but as they were coming in last Sunday morning, he was taking those little steps. And then y'all couldn't see him unless you were sitting in the back. But how that he went and on this side, and he took those little steps. Come. Listen. Jesus says, come. Now, I'm not going to discount that there have been times that he's come to where I am and picked me up and carried me back where I'm supposed to be. But more times than not, he holds out his arms and he says, come. When a baby is learning to walk, what do? We encourage the baby. Come. Come. Come to daddy. Come to mama. Come here. We don't walk over and pick him up and, well, we might, but we're not really helping when we do that, are we? Because they get stronger as they take those baby steps. And quite honestly, they get stronger. We get stronger when we fall and get back up and try it again. I love that picture that I saw this past week of a tree. It said, years ago it fell. But the branches, the tree's still growing. But it didn't give up. Listen, every one of us fall. I said it last week and I said you'll hear me say it before. If you've never fallen before this day is over, get on your knees and say, thank you, Lord. But if you have fallen, you know what I'm talking about. You know that the Lord is standing there saying, come on, come here. Yes, he could come and he could pick me up and bring me there. But he says, come. Come to me. Come to me. He came to us when he left heaven's glory to come to the cross. But now he says, come to me. Come to me. Walk to me. Come here. Let me show you what I can do for you. But until we do that, he says, how can I pardon you? You're out there. So what's the Spirit saying? The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth come. So what prevents me from coming to Christ? And I hope y'all know me by now. When I ask that question, I'm not talking about getting born again. I'm not talking about becoming a child of God. But as a child of God, what prevents me from coming to Christ? What prevents me from turning from where I'm at and coming to Christ? Go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8. I'm going to start with verse 5. That whole chapter is a beautiful chapter. I'm going to start with verse 5, reading verses 5 through 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Do we understand, and I know we do, but do we understand that when we're born of the Spirit of God, when we're a child of God, we have two natures about us? We have that which is carnal, and we have that which is spiritual. We have the natural mind. I've often said, wouldn't it be wonderful if God had just taken the natural mind away from us? It'd be heaven. And that's what's going to happen when we enter into heaven, is we won't have to deal with that. It's going to be changed. But right now, every one of us have to deal with the natural mind, which Paul refers to here as the flesh. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And I'm going to be honest with you. We live in a time right now, in this day right now that we live in, that there seems to be a whole lot of people that are living in the flesh. I'm talking about you turn on the news and that's all that you see. You pick up the paper, that's all that you see. You turn on your computer and look, and that's all that you see. People that are living in the flesh. And I see statements made and I'm thinking, do you really realize what you're saying when you
when you say those statements, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And that's the struggle I'm having right now. I'll be honest with you. I've got that struggle. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but it's still one of my favorite words of the Bible. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So that tells me that right now I have two ways in front of me. I can go by the way of the flesh, but if I go that way, I hear my Father in heaven saying, how can I pardon you when you're walking according to the flesh? Or I can go after the Spirit of God. I can go after the things that the Spirit of God speaks to me and leads me and directs me. They that are after the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, does that mean that if I'm minding the things of the Spirit, that I can't do anything in this world that the world would call fun? Or does it mean that I have a whole new perspective on how that I see things that are going on in this life, that I see things that are going on in this world? And quite honestly, for me, when I'm walking in the flesh, those things that I thought that used to be fun are no longer fun to me. But those things that I thought, well, that would be such a hardship to have to do that, Christ says, I've made it easy for you. But now at the same time, when I say I've made it easy for you, I want us to understand something. What I'm talking about is a struggle. What I'm talking about is hard. If somebody ever tells you that when you try to follow the Lord, it's going to be an easy thing to do, I'd have to question if they've ever really followed the Lord. I'm not questioning their heart as to whether or not they're a child of God. But I'm going to tell you, when you try to follow the leadership of the Spirit of God, you have Satan and all of his demons coming at you, trying to throw you to the side, trying to sway you away, trying to get you to go away from that. He says, if this is where the struggle begins. Okay, I've got the natural mind, but I've got my heart. The mind says, look at that. The heart says, yeah, look at that. The mind says, wouldn't that be fun? The heart says, no. Because there's consequences to be paid. Because God says, how can I pardon you? Until you turn and come to me. How is it that we turn and come to Him? Is it by the mind, by the natural mind? Or is it by the Spirit of God that's within us? I believe it's by the Spirit of God that's within us. I don't think the natural mind has that tendency to turn on its own and follow after the Lord. You say, what? Well, let's keep reading. Because I think Paul addresses that. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded, to be after the flesh, is death. Now sometimes that's a natural death. But more times than not, it's a separation from the fellowship of the Lord. And if you've ever been in a place where that you've been separated from the fellowship of the Lord, excuse my language, but that's hell on earth. It's pure hell to be in a place where that you don't feel the fellowship of the Lord. And I understand what I mean by that. I'm talking about the torment, the agony. And we'll see that as this develops on through the series. To be carnally minded is death. Ask David how it felt. David, how did you feel when you were separated from the fellowship of God? Well, we know one thing. He says, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. I've lost my joy. If you've ever lost your joy, you know the torment that's there. How do we get it back? It's not through the natural mind. I can assure you of that. By following the leadership of the Spirit. How do we follow the leadership of the Spirit? Quite honestly, sometimes it means falling on our knees before God and saying, Lord, I need you. I need your help. I can't do this on my own. I've tried. I don't know how many times a particular thing. Well, I'll just tell you. About a year before we moved here in 1986, the Lord blessed me to be able to stop smoking. Now, this is not an anti-smoking sermon. This is just in what's happened with me. I had quit probably 1,000 times before that. But until the Spirit of the Lord convicted my heart, and He used Judy to do it, convict my heart that it was wrong, I couldn't lay it down. And that applies to anything that the mind goes for. You can't turn away from it on your own. You can try. You can set up rules. Remember last week I talked about Eve and how that when Satan said, "Yea, hath not God said?" Yes, he said we couldn't eat it. We couldn't even touch it. You see how she put up her own rule, her own guidelines there? You can't put up your own guidelines and expect to follow it. You'll fall every time. The only way to avoid that, the only way to get through that, is to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit as He's speaking to our hearts and bringing our minds into alignment with that. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You mean those things that I used to think was fun? They were death to me? That's right. And those things that I thought, I was one of those. Why do people go to church so many times? Why don't they know? I mean, why go to a Bible conference? Sit there and listen to preaching 5-6 times a day? Don't they know? There's other things to be done. And yet, when the Lord began to speak to me and reveal to me and to show me, I'm going to tell you, those people know how to have fun. To sit there in fellowship with the Lord. That's true. I'm using the word fun. It is fun. I have fun on Sundays when we come together. And you know what? You do too. You can't hide it. I see your faces. I see your smiles. This is fun. And you know what? Tomorrow you don't have to regret it. Unless I go over to 12:30. But you don't have to regret it. You don't have to sit there and say, "Why did I do that?" Because whether it be a song or whether it be somebody come up and when we get back to where we can do this, come back and give you a hug and say, "I'm so glad to see you." That will carry you through to the next time. And those things that the world says fun, as soon as you do it, you realize, no, that's not fun. I wouldn't be this sick if that was fun. I wouldn't feel this bad if that was fun. I wouldn't feel this guilty if that was fun. And the Spirit says, come here. I can't pardon you out there, but come here. Come to where I am. You might say, well, doesn't Jesus go with you everywhere you go? We sing that song, don't we? If Jesus goes with me, I'll go. Actually, we turn that around, don't we? If Jesus goes with me, I'll go. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. You can't beat it. Jesus, the prayer of intercession that He prayed, John 17, He said, "And this is life everlasting. This is life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent." This is life, and it's peace, and it's joy, and it's fun. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So what am I to do? What am I to do with this mind that I still have to deal with? How do I deal with that? Here's where the struggle comes in. To deny myself. What did Jesus say? If any man come after me, let him first do what? Deny himself. Deny himself. Let him first deny himself. Then take up his cross. It may not seem fun to begin with. It might seem like a chore. It might seem like, what am I doing here? But I'm going to tell you, as we exercise that obedience unto the Lord, it becomes a part of our nature. It becomes a part of who we are. And when it becomes a part of who we are, when we have times like we had from March to June, That was torment to me. Not to be able to be in the house of God with His people. That was torment. The Sundays that I used to look forward to, I dreaded them. Because I just wanted to sit at home. Thank God for technology that we're able to use, where that there was some semblance of being able to be in the house of God and to be able to hear the Word of God. I want to tell you, to follow after the natural mind, there's no joy in that. There's no peace in that. There's no contentment in that. Because the mind says, I want more. I want more. I want more. And the more that the mind is fed, the farther away from God that we go. Until we get to the point where it doesn't even matter anymore. Paul writes about having our conscience seared with a hot iron. Have you ever killed the nerve endings in a finger, or you don't feel anything there? I've still got a scar on the back of my head where I had surgery 40 years ago, and I still have places there that are numb from the nerves being cut and haven't grown back together. Jesus said, this is a word of warning, coming back to our text, and again, I haven't even got halfway through the introduction, so y'all pray with me that the next few weeks that the Lord will bring this up. But I just want us to understand something this morning. It talks about blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Used to people would say, what does that mean? My first thing out of my mind was, well, a child of God can't commit that sin. And the Lord said, well, yeah. I understand the Word of God is written to the child of God. It's not written to one that's dead in trespasses and sins. So if it's in the Word of God, it's written to me. And Jesus is saying, Steve, be careful. Don't follow the flesh. The flesh will take you to places that you don't like. It'll take you to places that you wish you'd never gone to. It'll take you to places that you don't know how you're going to get back. And then the Holy Spirit says, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. And what do you see? You see Jesus standing there just like this. Come here. Come to me. You see, I'm not preaching to you a hopeless message this morning. I'm preaching to you a message that is filled with hope and security and peace and joy that is found only in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit does not take us into the world. The Holy Spirit brings us closer to Jesus. And as we follow Him, there's that peace and that contentment and that joy. And quite honestly, next Sunday, the Lord continues to lead me in this, I want to talk some more about the struggle. Don't think that you can just automatically say, I'm going to... Remember that little song? I have decided to follow Jesus. I'll tell you, that's more than just one decision. For me, it's a daily decision. Not only is it a daily decision, but it's a multiple decision throughout every day. Because the mind is so capable of taking us into a place that's dark and dismal and absolutely joyless. But in the Lord, the joy of the Lord is our strength. So the question this morning is, Steve, do you have that joy? Is there something missing? Is there an emptiness? If there's an emptiness, where did it go? How did it leave? Was it God's fault? Did God walk away from me? Or did I walk away from Him? For me, every time that happens, there's only one answer. I did the walking away. God never forsook me. That's a promise. Never will I forsake you. Never will I leave you. And my grace is sufficient for you. May God help us to be in tune to, attent to, mindful of the fact that the Spirit of God is speaking to us every single day. He guides us and He leads us and He directs us. And He brings us to a place where the joy is unspeakable. The peace goes beyond understanding. It's a place that is filled with absolute contentment. And it's filled with righteousness, peace, and joy. But let me take that and march forward with it. March forward to go against those things that Satan would throw at us. Let me just hush. Pray for me that in the next few weeks that I'll be able to explain the things that God has put on my heart this week. May we pray.